Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It is great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we are about halfway through our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb, and we have seen Jesus battling Satan. He battled Satan with the temptation. He battled Satan last week as we saw him casting out the demon from the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And today we see him doing battle once again. Be reminded, when Jesus does battle, he does battle for you. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. The outline for our 10:30 service begins on page 6. Begins on page 6 in our bulletin. Our opening hymn is number 605, Father Welcomes. A wonderful children's hymn, a wonderful baptism hymn. Pay special attention to verse 3. Special attention to verse 3 because it connects us to the sermon this morning. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. Please note, during the season of Lent, we'll follow the Lenten responses. We have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We are vicarless this morning. Vicar is in Hickman, leading the worship service and preaching there. We remember him in our thoughts and prayers. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. Good chance you might not know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with. Well, we can remedy that. Just ask people who they are, because remember, in Jesus, we are all one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of each new day. We thank you for the gift of Jesus delivered to us in the waters of holy baptism. Heavenly Father, there are many times when we are apathetic with regard to our faith. We take so many things for granted that we don't realize that there is a war going on for our soul. Heavenly Father, drive us to our knees in repentance. Open our ears and our hearts and our lives to your word. And Heavenly Father, help us to hear and believe your holy and precious word today and always. Lord God, all these things, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, the stronger man for us. Amen. Amen. Hymn 605.
The Order of Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Lord, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We turn to our introit. It is printed on your bulletin insert. We will chant it together.
Thank you.
this hymn, 659. 659. Reading from Exodus, the 8th chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. and the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual together as printed on your bulletin insert. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. A reading from the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Ephesus. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. People seem to be infatuated with vacations. Last week, that's all anybody could ever talk about around here at church was vacation. Why? Well, LPS was on spring break. Everything changed. We couldn't have midweek or confirmation class. We didn't have enough kids around. People were traveling here and there. But it's not just kids, is it? Don't we oftentimes set our calendars around our vacations? Kids certainly do. They can tell you for certain when their next day off is from school. They know when summer vacation begins, and with a tear in their eye, they'll tell you when it is over. Adults work the same way. I know at least one person, in fact, I'm married to her, that while we are on vacation, all she is thinking about is the next vacation. And let's be honest, many of us who are working, are longing for that day, whether rightly so or not. We are longing for that day when we can retire and be on a never-ending vacation. Talk to somebody who's retired about the realistic nature of that. But, now sometimes this obsession with vacation is really a misunderstanding or a sinful attitude toward work or vocation. That's the topic for another day and another sermon. Today, we want to take a look at God's Word and the warning that God's Word gives to us about taking a vacation. Not the kind of vacations I'm talking about. Taking a vacation from God's Word and God's gifts. As I mentioned before, this is the third Sunday in a row, the first three Sundays in Lent, Jesus is doing battle with Satan. He does battle with Satan in the wilderness in his temptation. He does battle with a demon and a demon-possessed daughter of the Syrophoenician woman. And today, he does battle with a demon that is causing a man to be mute. He can't speak. Gospel of Matthew tells us this man not only was mute, he couldn't speak, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear. Satan had this man completely in his grip. And so what does Jesus do? He uses his finger. This is how powerful Jesus is. He uses his finger like he's going to flick away a little fly. With the finger of God, which is another name for the Spirit of God, which is simply referring to the Word of God, with the finger of God, Jesus flicks this demon out of the man. And the man immediately is healed. The man immediately speaks. Here we see the power of God. The power of God displayed and manifested in the God-man Jesus Christ. But it doesn't end here. We know that this Jesus continues his fight, continues his battle. This is what we remember during our season of Lent, right? We walk with Jesus, the Passion Walk. We walk with him all the way through the way of sorrow. We walk with him through his arrest, through the mocking, the beating, the kangaroo court, through his inglorious death, hanging on a cross between two thieves, a crown of thorns, dead, buried. Jesus does all this for you and for me. And 3 days later, Jesus, who shouts from the cross, "It is finished," is no longer dead, but is alive. He's alive for you and for me and for the life of the world. Jesus lives. The victory is won. Do you hear that? Jesus has won the victory for you. Now here's the crazy part. It's a good thing you're all sitting down. The victory has been won. But the fight goes on. The victory has been won, but we continue to do battle. Mortal combat. It's more than a video game, I'll tell you that right now. There is a war and a mortal combat going on for your soul. How can this be? Sometimes it helps to just explain things in a very simple way. I'm a simple guy. It's very helpful for me. Think of your catechism. Think of the creed. Think of the second article of the creed. Jesus Christ, true man, begotten of the Father from all eternity. And also true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. And also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, true God and true man. What does he do? He redeems me, a lost and condemned sinner, purchased and won me, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood in his innocent suffering and death. Why? That I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. According to the second article, the victory by Jesus has been won. It is complete. Now move on to the third article of the creed. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. I can't reason it out. I can't figure it out. I can't make a decision in my heart. I'm spiritually dead. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps me in the one true faith. This is what the Holy Spirit does: calls, gathers, enlightens, and keeps. This is where the battle rages, with the work of the Holy Spirit, calling us to faith, keeping us in the one true faith. This is where Satan works and works and works to steal your soul. We're obsessed with vacations, right? Satan never takes a vacation. Never. Not ever. As one of our members said after our 8 o'clock service this morning, she said, "Pastor, why don't you say it this way? Jesus is with you always, and the devil is right there with him." And it's right. But see, here's part of the problem. We don't necessarily take that very seriously, do we? In our text, we see Jesus with his finger setting the man free. He flicks out Satan. The man is set free. And immediately, a controversy erupts. Well, he must be in league with Satan, otherwise he couldn't cast out Satan. I've always thought that was the most ridiculous charge ever against Jesus in all of Scripture. And yet it goes on even today, and people believe it. People buy it. Jesus is the same as the devil. The same kind of power. Doesn't really matter what kind of God you believe in, whether it's Jesus or Satan or Allah or Buddha, they're all the same. And in so doing, when we lessen the work of Jesus by vaulting or increasing who Satan is, Jesus and his person and his work mean nothing. But there's something bigger going on, isn't there? Let's be honest, right here, right now. When you hear people talking about the devil and the devil at work in our world today, what do your 21st century ears hear? When you hear someone say, "The devil made me do it," it's a joke, right? It's not really serious. There's not like a real devil that made me do it. Or when we hear people talking about Satan and evil spirits and the powers of darkness, we think they're nuts. We think they're wacko. They're some kind of a religious nut job. Probably a fundamentalist Christian. There's a great movie, in fact, most guys think it's a great movie, about 20 or 25 years ago, Kevin Spacey, The Usual Suspects. Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Sose. And you know what? Nobody believes he exists. And in this movie, Kevin Spacey, in character, says, "The greatest victory that the devil has ever won is convincing the world he's not real." Are you guilty? I am. I rarely take serious the work of Satan and all of Satan's army against me, against you, against anyone who bears the name of Jesus. Jesus goes on in Luke chapter 11, and he warns us. He warns us that the devil is real and the devil is really at work. We heard in our epistle reading from Ephesians 5 earlier about how a Christian should live. Just the very next chapter, God warns us this way: "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." We may not think that the devil is real, But God's word certainly does. And in these famous words from 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober-minded, God, through Peter, tells Christians. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in the faith. This is real, folks. It's not cartoonish. It is real. There is a real battle and a real war going on for your soul. And we don't think it's very serious. We become apathetic, taking a vacation from God's word and God's gifts. Jesus teaches us here in Luke chapter 11 what often, too often, happens to the lazy and apathetic Christian. Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. This strong man is Satan. When Satan has you, he is fully armed and his goods are safe and he's happy and he is at peace. This is how it works with everyone who is outside of faith in Christ. This is how it is with everyone who is outside the baptismal waters. But it doesn't end there. Verse 22. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. The stronger one comes and defeats the strong man. The stronger one is Jesus. He is certainly stronger than the devil. Remember the finger flick? He comes and he defeats Satan once and for all. He crushes his head by his life-giving victory over sin, death, and the grave. Yes, sin, death, and the devil. He drives the Satan out of the heart of the believer. We don't think about it very often. But this is exactly what happens when we are baptized. Remember the words that we say? Do you reject the devil and all his works and all his ways? We don't say that because it's a cute little phrase that has been handed down over the years. This is what we actually believe, teach, and confess. Good Friday and Easter are delivered to us in the baptismal font. And in so doing, Satan is driven away. He's driven away out into waterless places where he can go and do whatever he wants to. We are set free. We are filled with the Spirit. We are alive, alive in Jesus Christ. But what do we so often do? We take it for granted. What do we so often do? We become lazy and apathetic. When things are going pretty good in our life, you know, I don't really need God all that much. Everything's going pretty well. My house is neat and tidy, but our house is empty. Our house is empty of Christ, empty of His Word, empty of His gifts. We think we can do it on our own. We become lazy and apathetic. We fill up our house with our own self-righteousness. We fill up our house with our own good works. We fill up our house with our own reinterpretation of how to live. After all, if I'm forgiven, it doesn't really matter what I do, right? I can live however I want to, right? After all, I'm forgiven. I'm baptized, right? Did you hear what God said in Ephesians chapter 5 in our epistle reading? Be imitators of God. Walk in love. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place. Everyone who acts like this has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Our house is full, but it's full of the wrong stuff. It's empty of Christ. And as soon as Satan sees that empty house, guess what? He comes home. He comes home to your heart. And he brings with him seven spirits greater than he. And the last state of the person is worse than the first. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen all too much. Somebody who's really fired up about Christ and about church, and before long, they've drifted away. Someone who's been very active in church every Sunday, a pillar of the church, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and then all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe there's a death in the family. Maybe there's a financial tragedy. Maybe there's a problem at work. Maybe there's a national crisis. Doesn't matter what, something happens and all of a sudden they begin to doubt God's love. They begin to doubt God's word. They begin to doubt their own salvation. Their house is empty. And Satan moves back in. My friends, Jesus today is warning us. He is warning each and every one of us, all who are baptized children of God. Do not take a vacation from Christ and His Word. This war for your soul is real. Remember the words of your catechism and return to the baptismal font. What does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all of our sins and evil lusts, and daily come forth a new person, a new creation. The life of a Christian is not a life of vacation from God's Word, but it is a life of daily contrition and repentance. Daily being sorry for our sins and believing that Christ has bled and died for us each and every day. Hearing the Word of God, receiving the gifts of God, keeping our house so full of Christ and His Word and His gifts, there's no room for Satan. There's no room for all of this evil stuff that he is convincing us with, for his lies. My friends, God is simply reminding us to be Christians, clinging to Christ and his word each and every day. My friends, God wants you to enjoy your vacation. He wants you to have a respite from labor, which in this sinful world is difficult, even if that labor is going to school. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. But remember, when you're on spring break, Satan is right there with you because he takes no vacation. That battle and that war will go on each and every day that you draw breath. Remember to live in Christ. Hear those last words. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's really just as simple as we sang in our opening hymn. Let us daily die to sin. Let us daily rise with Him. Walk in the love of Christ our Lord. Live in the peace of God. May God grant that to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, God opens our mouth just like He did with the man in our gospel reading for today. He opens our mouth so it can pour forth His praise. This morning we use the words of the Te Deum. Please stand as we sing those words together, page 223 and following.
Thank you.
Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the stronger man for you. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. It's pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of Christ's victory for you would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayers as listed in your news and notes, we also remember Raleigh Victor, who is hospitalized following a fall. We remember those who mourn, especially the family of Leonard Stelick, the father of Brent Stelick, who the Lord took to himself on Friday. The family of Chip, the grandson, the grandson-in-law of Marianne Preschult, who was taken to his heavenly home last week. And also the family of Bonnie Zager, the friend of Laverne and Levon Myers, who also has attended Good Shepherd on occasion, who was taken to her heavenly home on Friday. We stand for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. Whose glory it is always to have mercy. be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, we praise you this day as your word of grace and peace is proclaimed among us. Where your word is spoken, there the strong man is bound and cast out and his home plundered. Keep your holy church ever steadfast in your word, that we are fed with living bread from heaven. Open our hearts, hands, and mouths to proclaim your love in the many callings you give to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow on the entire Christian church your every blessing. Protect and defend all missionaries, blessing their work in your name, especially Dr. Allman in Germany. Prosper our mission efforts in this community according to your will, especially our radio station. And help us to teach your children your word through our Sunday school, and preschool. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the prophets, bless the prophets' sons, our faithful pastors and shepherds in Christ, especially those who serve us here at Good Shepherd. We also pray for Pastor Harrison, our synodical president, Pastor Snow, our district president. Make all who serve your church in the office of the Holy Ministry, fortified walls of bronze as they proclaim your salvation and distributes the gift your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, gives to his Holy Church. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, your judgments are unsearchable. Your ways are past finding out. Grant mercy to all who suffer with physical and mental ailments, especially Raleigh, Jerry, Celeste, Maureen, Ed, Brett, Marianne, Sonia, Laura Lee, Dwayne, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Susie, Anna, Larry, Carl and Callie, Warren, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Diane, Beth, Ralph, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge, Paris, Kristen, Desi, Kimberly, Al and Cindy. Give to them grace to discern your love in whatever suffering you send them. Support them in patient thankfulness under pain and anxiety. Move us with pity and tenderness for all who are afflicted. Lord, in your mercy, grant peace and comfort to all those who mourn, especially the families of Leonard, Chip, and Bonnie. Give to them the confidence that you have conquered death through your death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lay these petitions before your throne of grace for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forever. Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 541. 541.
Of Jesus. A couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. A lot of stuff in the Good Shepherd news and notes. Check it out. All the different inserts. There's a recap of the school auction that was held about 10 days ago. So all that information is in there, and I would encourage you to check it out. We are on our regular Lenten schedule now, so this Wednesday we'll have church at 12:15 and at 6:30. Fellowship meal serving from 5 until 6:15. This week's lunch will be sponsored by the Lincoln Area Lutherans for Life. Very, very great and worthy cause to support. During this entire season of Lent, we've had a special encouragement and emphasis to remember Good Shepherd member and missionary Dr. Christopher Allman in Germany. There's a table set up out there, prayer cards, refrigerator magnets, all kinds of things to help keep the almonds in our thoughts and prayers. We're also trying to raise a few $1,000 during Lent, so if you can help out in that respect, that would be a good and God-pleasing thing too. We have a sign-up sheet out there for Easter lilies. Check that out if you can help us out. And we have a spring cleanup day coming, weather permitting, on April 1st, Saturday, April 1st, 9 o'clock, bring your rake and all that kind of stuff. Many hands make light work, so check that out. Big thing coming up, we made our initial announcement last Wednesday night, and we continue to announce it today. Next Sunday, we're going to have a special voters' assembly. And we have two regular voters' assemblies a year. And then when we have some other congregational business to conduct, we call a special meeting. Special meeting next Sunday. And are you ready for this? Here's the time. The time is at 9:10 a.m. right here in the sanctuary, right after the 8 o'clock service. The 8 o'clock service, non-communion service, no extra things going on. We don't anticipate a long meeting. And so we decided to do it this way rather than cut into Bible study time or take up an evening for a few minutes of work. Many of you know that our principal of our school, our head teacher, Linda Ahrens, is moving to Missouri. Her husband's already there, taking a job there, and so we are in the process of replacing her. School board's been hard at work. They have a candidate to present to the congregation for consideration of a call. The biographical information for Keith, I don't know, I can't pronounce his last name, but it's on the bulletin board just inside the fellowship hall. If you want to check that out, the biographical information is there. So you're all invited, short, probably voters' assembly next Sunday in the sanctuary right after the 8 o'clock service. We're saying 9:10 a.m. Pastor, anything else? Okay. Several people have asked. The funeral service for Brent Stelick's father will be Wednesday morning, 10:30, Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Crete. Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Crete, 10:30, Wednesday morning. We keep the Stelick family in our thoughts and prayers. Have a great day and week and Lent. In the name of Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.